Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. MoCo will help transform your business. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how we can help you be next.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 70 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. Today will be our fourth Dynasty debate, and with me, as usual, is my self-proclaimed 55 power, 70 speed co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's up, man?
Oh, not too much, man. It's just grinding on baseball stuff. Off-season is in full swing, even though, you know, there's... not an off season right now for the MLB, but you know, it's weird. I'm sitting here on Baseball Savant, all the grayed out pictures and all the background images are all the same as some dumb stadium lights with a pretty sunset behind it. Like, come on, like we need baseball back, even though the lockout really doesn't, it's not really affecting anything. Like I'm not even slightly worried about the season being delayed. I'm not worried about spring training being delayed at this point, but yeah, just a weird feeling, but nothing's changing from my standpoint, at least.
Yeah. I'm not worried yet.
But at the same time, I don't know. I also don't have much confidence in this getting resolved quickly. Like, I almost guarantee it bleeds into 2022 calendar year. But if we get start getting like past like that midway point of January, like the 15th, 16th, getting into that second half of January, then I might start being concerned when I'm like, all right, spring training's a couple weeks away. Let's get this done here. We still got, you know, a lot of signings left to go. There's a lot of big names out there. Correa is still out there. Who's the other shortstop that hasn't signed yet? Story's still out there. A lot of other names. So yeah, let's get this done before like mid January or so we could have a normal lead in the spring training and, you know, end of this off season. So I'm hoping, but yeah, what off season for us, right? There's no off season here at the Tool Shed. We're still pumping out content on Patreon. When you're listening to this today on Friday, I'll also have my prospect rankings are up on fantraxhq.com. Chris did his last week, so go check out both of those. As I said earlier, we'll have our dynasty rankings updated probably closer to the end of the month, give or take right around Christmas time, I'm assuming. So be on the lookout for those as well. But we have a really fun dynasty debate today. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us. And, of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. Today's debate is a fun one. We did the number one pitching prospect debate last time on Wednesday. If you missed that, go check that out. That was a really fun one. This time we're doing the same thing, but up at the major league level with who is the number one dynasty starting pitcher. Got a nice cluster up there of elite arms. So we'll be debating that today. Maybe throw in a little who's number one in 2022 redraft as well. But as of course, this is a dynasty debate. We'll be focusing mostly on dynasty here. Let's go. Let's just get right into it, Chris. So for you, who is the number one dynasty starting pitcher?
Well, you know, I want to argue someone different because I know this is both of our number ones, but it's Corbin Burnes. And I think that he's kind of earned this ranking of being the top dynasty arm. You could argue that Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball when he's healthy. I think that's the biggest caveat here is that he's got to be healthy and you got to factor in his age. He's 33. Burnes, on the other hand, just 27 years old. So, and you know, it's easy to look at what Burnes did last year and just be insanely, insanely impressed. I mean, he pitched a 2.42 ERA, absolutely just dominating the whole season with a 35.6% strikeout rate. Everything across the board just absolutely stands out to you. And it's interesting to see his transformation, honestly. I mean, he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball not long ago. And just turned it around so quick. I mean, 2019 had an 8.82 ERA. And then he just flipped the script completely. And now just utter dominance. I don't even know what to say. Like, and you can argue that DeGrom actually was better. But again, I mean, what did Burnes? Burnes had a 1.63 FIP. Like, that's absolutely nuts. I mean, who even thinks of that? Like, the underlying metrics being that good, it was that much better. I mean, Zach Wheeler was the next to qualified pitchers at 2.59. So it was almost a full run lower than any other pitcher. Let me unfilter the qualified arms because I'm curious where DeGrom ended up. I don't know how many innings did DeGrom even throw.
92.
Okay, so I can't set the parameter at 100 innings.
I only know that because I've done this same type of thing with inning pitch parameters to see where DeGrom falls and where he doesn't fall. So that's why I know he
had 92. Yeah, just a walking stat book over there. Mr. Eric Cross.
Yeah. It helps him. My best subject in school was math. So it kind of correlates the stats.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Gosh, I don't want to see the worst FIPs. Jake Arrieta had a 6.17 FIP.
Of course he is.
So DeGrom, I mean, we know DeGrom was nasty last year, 92 innings, but he had a 1.08 ERA, a 1.54 xERA, a 1.24 FIP, and a 1.61 xFIP. But I can't argue for DeGrom being number one because of his age, because of his injury history. I mean, he'll be 34 next season. And that's not to, I mean, look at Scherzer. Look at these guys dominating, you know, late into their 30s. It's doable. But the biggest thing here with DeGrom is just the injury history and the concern. Like, I think he's pitching with a torn UCL, and I think he's just denying it, and I think that he's going to blow up. So I won't have a single share of DeGrom in redraft next year. And if I have him in Dynasty League, I'm trying to trade him right now before that news pops out, being honest.
Dave McDonald is very happy to hear you say that.
I'm sure he is. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, so for me, it's, you know, we're having this as a debate, but I don't think it actually is much of a debate. Like, it's Corbin Burns. You know, the one thing that I keep seeing people go to on Twitter or in articles or on podcasts or whatever it may be, so, oh, he had the least amount of innings pitch thrown out of like this. You know, I'm looking at like this for dynasty purposes, a cluster of five, you know, Burns, Cole, Buehler, Woodruff, and DeGrom. And okay, so DeGrom was hurt, but out of the other arms, he only had 167 innings pitched. Cole had 181 in the third, Buehler 207 and two thirds, and Woodruff 179 in the third. But at the same time, he was much better. No, okay, not much better, but he was better than the other arms. So he had the four that pitched a full, or at least not DeGrom's 92 innings, but the four that pitched a full season, quote unquote, he had the best ERA, the best xERA by over a full run. His was 202 xERA, and the next lowest was Buehler at 310. He had the lowest whip, the lowest xBA, the lowest xSlug by almost 100 full points. Tied for the lowest, and I should have this group, the lowest walk rate, 5.2%, the highest K rate at 35.6, the lowest hard hit rate, the lowest barrel rate by almost 3%. Like, he had a 3.1% barrel rate, so he was the best at limiting hard contact, limiting contact in general, and striking batters out and limiting the walks. Like, we talked about how he cut the walk rate down. Like, I'm not sure if we're done seeing like a next level from Corbin Burns. I really don't. Like, he is just so damn good. He has the best all around arsenal in baseball, in my opinion. Like, yeah, you could say like DeGrom, you know, he dominates with that four seamer and slider. He might have the best two pitch combination, but when we look at the arsenal as a whole, Burns has five pitches he can attack with, and four of those had a whiff rate above 40%. Like, no one who does that. Like, seriously, I should be three of them did, but they're all above 45%. 50.3% whiff rate on the curve, 45.9 on the change, 47.5 on the slider, and the cutter, which he uses over half the time, 32.1%, which is very good for a cutter. So it's Burns. And you got to imagine, yeah, he only had 167 in the third, which is 15 to 25 lower than the other guys. But you got to imagine, like, they were, you know, this was his first full year starting. Yeah, he was a starter last year, dominated, but that was a shortened 60-game season. So you got to imagine there's going to be a little less restraint. You know, they'll kind of pull the reins back a bit, let him go a little further. I can see him getting up to 180-plus innings and being right with all these other guys. Like, Buehler, you know, throws a bit more, but I don't think the innings are going to be an issue next year. I think he'll go 180 to 190. I think he's going to be as dominant. Like, I don't see any, like, I tried to find a red flag in his profile, and it's impossible. So for me, yeah, DeGrom is probably the best pitcher in baseball right now. If I had to take one pitcher for one game when they're all healthy, I would take DeGrom by a hair over Burns. But like you mentioned, Chris, he's 33, almost 34. His elbow is kind of hanging on by a thread at this point. Who knows? He didn't have surgery, so who knows? Like, he could blow that out. I hope not. I don't want him to blow out his elbow because he's so much fun to watch pitch. And I think baseball is better when Jacob DeGrom is there. But he could go out there and that thing could just let go first start, you know, in early April. So he's not even in this discussion for me, given that if he was like 27, maybe, yeah. But he's not. And I think just the other guys that are near Burns' age, like Buehler's a couple months older, Woodruff's, you know, a year and a half to 2 years older. They're all in that 27, 28, 29 range. I think he's just flat out better. Like, Buehler is great. He's the workhorse here. The 200 inning season, low ERA, but the K rate just isn't quite there. So yeah, it is Corbin Burns for me. One that we haven't talked about yet. Can you make a case for Gerrit Cole, Chris? Like, do you think that, you know, even at 31, you know, the little bit of a down year, 3.23 ERA, 106 WHIP is a down year with one of the highest K minus walk rates in baseball. But is there still a case to be made for Gerrit Cole as the number one dynasty arm?
Possibly. Can I go back to Burns real quick?
Can always go back to Corbin Burns.
Like, yeah, yeah. I was like you. I was trying to find anything that could prick a hole in the argument. I just wonder, like, could the walk rate trend back up. It's just like such a major, that's my, all right. So the only thing I'm seeing, and this isn't even bad, but like his second half walk rate was 6.1%. That's still great. It went in September, October, it was 7.2%, but also he struck out 40.5% of batters in September, October. So I wonder if it was just one of those things where, you know, just trying to strike guys out galore, win the Cy Young type thing, and he just walked a little more. Having such a hard time pricking a hole in this argument. Also, the home run to fly ball rate being so low is interesting to me. It did trend up towards the end of the year. I mean, it was below 5% in the first half at 4.9%, up to 7.5% second half. And that September, October, it was 13.3%. Like, I don't know. I don't see a ton of regression coming, if any. Like you said, I think there may be like even another level here, which is just absolutely nuts because nothing else in the profile like really jumps out and screams, you know, regression by any means. So even I think if he walks like 7% of batters, he's still probably the best pitcher in baseball, you think?
Oh yeah, I think that I was gonna ask him too. Like, yeah, I guess if the walk rate does regress, I don't think it's gonna regress much. I think worst case scenario is probably like 7.5%, which is still above average. But yeah, it's great. You mentioned the home run to fly ball rate, but I'm not like overly worried. Maybe it's slight regression there, but same time, Burns is, you know, such a good command pitcher right now. He only gave up one home run off a six of his seven home runs allowed were off the cutter, which was still, you know, obviously a great cutter. But he allowed one home run off the curveball, and that's it for his, you know, off speed secondary offerings. Locates well and just limits, you know, the barrel rate was a ridiculous, 3.1%. He just doesn't give up much hard contact, and he gets ground balls too. Like I posted a tweet yesterday now when you're listening to this about how, you know, the pitchers that had, you know, a 28% K rate or whatever it was, a walk rate below 8% and the ground ball rate above 45%. And there was like 8 or 9 guys, and he was one of them. So he gets that ground ball rate. I think his ground rate was like 48%. So he can keep the ball on the ground, limit, you know, batters finding the barrel, and just limit contact in general and missing bats. It's like, it's so hard to square him up. So I don't see much regression, even a slight regression in the home run, the fly ball rate, and his walk rate. I think he's still the best pitcher for dynasty purposes. Like DeGrom doesn't have that case anymore because of his age and durability at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's an easy case. And like you said, worst case, what if his 7.5% walk rate, if there's some regression, like that's still going to play. I mean, even if the home run to fly ball ratio goes up, like, you know, I was just curious. So I went back and looked at the projection model that I'm running on him, and it's projecting him at a 2.8 ERA. And that's with a significantly regressed home run to fly ball rate. Steamer's got him at 2.99. And yeah, I don't know. I have his projected walk rate at 7.5% and a home run to fly ball at 11%. And so that's major regression there. And that still hasn't projected a 2.8 ERA, which
yes.
I think that shows you how good he is.
Is that basically his floor, do you think? Because it probably is.
Like, it might be, yeah.
I'd probably venture a guess he's probably going to be another below 2.5, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It should. I mean, look at all the underlying metrics last year. I mean, his worst was his Sierra, which was 2.61, but all the other ones were like just insanely low. So yeah,
when your worst is a 2.61, you're right. You're doing something right.
Yeah. I feel pretty confident he's a sub 3 ERA. So sure. Yeah. Back to Gerrit Cole. I don't know. And we talk about home runs, and Gerrit Cole's one that concerns me with home runs. I don't think being in Yankee Stadium is fantastic for him. He was not very good after the sticky substance crackdown. And I wonder, he was beat up a little bit. He had some injuries going on. So I don't know what to peg it to exactly, whether I should say that, yeah, like he was pitching bad because the sticky stuff got taken away, or if it was more the fact that he was pitching hurt, which I think is a possibility. But even with his regression, he still had a great year. I mean, his FIP was below 3 at a 3.23 ERA. And that was running a pretty high BABIP for his standards and a pretty low strand rate compared to his standards. So I don't know. I mean, even then, he still struck out 33.5% of batters, walked just 5.6%. Those numbers are all there. The swing and strike rate kind of backs that up. Pounds is on. I mean, his first pitch strike rate is insanely high, which is good. I don't know. The biggest thing, I think Cole can pitch to Burns level, but look at the age difference. There's a 4-year age gap there, which I think obviously kind of eliminates him out of that running, for me at least, with Burns for that number one dynasty spot. Now redraft, I think you can make the argument for Cole, but I don't know. I just think for dynasty, when you look at the age and the whole body of work, I'm kind of seeing Burns easily number one here. And yeah, just look at what he did post sticky stuff. I mean, his second half ERA was 4.14, and that's not Garrett Cole-ish. So,
no, it's not.
No, I know it'd be interesting. I mean, he had a 5.13 ERA in September, October. August was a good month, just 17 innings, but he had a 0.51 ERA and struck out a ton of batters over that time. But the other months after the crackdown were not good. 4.65, 4.71. Yeah, those are not good ERAs. So I'll be curious to see how it plays out over full season. And that's the thing. I think guys adapt. Like, we saw pitchers adapt. Yeah. And maybe we're in a situation next year where we have a constant. There needs to be some kind of constant, in my opinion, as far as a substance. So
yeah, and baseball needs to stop using two different baseballs, too. That would help.
So stupid.
It's funny how, you know, not to go off to a different sport, but there was so much of a, you know, when Tom Brady, the whole like deflate gate right. with Tom Brady, and that was like, it's a huge, huge deal. And then it's like, hey, Major League Baseball was using two different balls. Like, it's like there was a little bit of uproar, like, oh, what are they doing? But then it's just kind of like gone silent since then. Like, that's ridiculous. But yeah, as you mentioned, pitchers adapt, and especially pitchers like Garrett Cole. Like, I'm not worried at all about the, you know, his stats after the sticky substance crackdown, but at the same time, he's not one where I'm really concerned moving forward. You know, he's been Garrett Cole for a while now, but you know, with him being in the AL East, playing half his starts basically at Yankee Stadium. I just looked, he had 30 starts last year, 21 came in Yankee Stadium, Camden Yards, Fenway Park, and the trio of ballparks that Toronto played in, which were all hitters parks last year. So 70% of his starts came in,
that's rough,
you know, like top 10 hitters parks. So that, you know, if he was in the NL Central, like Corbin Burns, or even like the AL Central, or really any other division in baseball outside of the AL East, just because of the ballparks and the offenses, and a lot of, like, Boston's a top 10 offense. Toronto, we saw what they did, even losing Semien. That's still a ridiculous top 5 offense.
Yeah.
Baltimore is actually a sneaky, okay offense. Tampa Bay is always a decent offense as well, even if their park is a slightly pitcher friendly park. But yeah, the division, the ballparks, kind of, I think he'd be, if he did what he did last year in the AL Central, he'd probably be like 2.7 ERA type of guy, but that just kind of bumps him up a little bit. The home run, you know, issue as well. So, yeah, I can see him making a case in redraft. Like, for redraft, yeah, I still have Burns 1, and I actually have Max Scherzer 2. That I don't think he's done yet at an elite level. But it'll be interesting to see how he does going back into the NL East with the New York Mets now. But, yeah, you can make a case for Cole. I think I have Cole as my number 3. I, you know, him and Scherzer are basically 2A, 2B for me. Yeah. But it's still Burns and redraft for me. How about you? Is it Burns and redraft for you as well?
Yeah, it is. I take Burns. Like, I don't think I take any arm in the first round other than Burns. He's the only one that I think there's concerns about every single one of those guys. DeGrom, I'm not touching. I think there's some concern with Scherzer and the dead arm. And I think, you know, maybe it's not a big deal, but I'm afraid to touch him at his draft price right now. Woodruff, I wouldn't take that high, even though I do like him. Yeah, it's tough. Burns is the only one. Bueller, I like Bueller, and Bueller's an innings eater, and Bueller's going to give you great ratios, but I just can't see his strikeout rate ticking up. That's the biggest hindrance with him. Not like, if Bueller was a 30% K rate guy, he may be number one for me in dynasty and redraft, because he's going to throw way more innings than Burns is. I mean, we didn't expect him. No one expected him to throw the kind of numbers that he did this year. And he threw 207. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to go up from there, but you never know. I mean, it's possible, but I just don't see the strikeouts ticking up. There's nothing in his profile that tells me that he's going to see an increased strikeout rate. Like, his XK rate's actually lower when you look at the amount of strikes, that the type of strikes he throws from a swinging and looking standpoint. Like, his XK rate's like more like 26%. So that's not good.
No, it's not. Let's continue on here, do the similar thing that we've done in other debates. Is there like a guy or two that you look at that could be, could make this jump up into this discussion, up into this elite tier of, you know, Burns, Cole, Woodruff, Buehler, et cetera, and maybe this year or just within the next year or two? Anybody stand out to you?
Yeah, and this might be the crazy answer, and I would have laughed at myself if I'd said this a month ago, but it's Logan Webb. And I don't know. The more I've dug in on him, the more I just think that he's crazy good. And this could blow up in my face. Like, but Logan Webb made some tangible changes last year in his pitch mix and his arsenal, and it really paid off. And Logan Webb keeps the ball on the ground at an insanely high rate. Honestly, I think the strikeouts could tick up even more. Like, he struck out 26.5% last year. I see no reason that couldn't tick up. If he ticks up to 28-29% and he sees that in those innings totals increase, I mean, yeah, he only threw, I think between the playoffs and the regular season, he got up to like 164, if I'm not mistaken. He threw 148 regular season, but he had a decent chunk in the postseason. I think he could pitch 185. I think that'd be reasonable.
Yeah.
But if Webb gets to 200, like, he, I mean, you think he only started 26 games last year. So you expect him to get up to 32. And I don't know. I just absolutely love, and I didn't. Like, I was like, I'm out on Webb in 2022 because I thought his price was inflated. But dang, I dug in and I'm like, and everything about him just like really, like, is just legit in my opinion. Like, it's kind of nuts to think about, like, that jump. And that's the, and Burns made a huge jump too, so maybe it's not so crazy. But just the overall body of work is extremely good. The K rate's just going to be the only thing. Like, if the K rate ticks up, then I think he could. Because, I mean, you talk about inducing ground balls and not walking a lot of guys. I mean, he definitely fits this mold. I mean, his ground ball rate is insanely high. Last year, 62.2%. Yeah, that'll play.
Only Framber Valdez had a lower one, which was lower by like 8%.
Yeah, Valdez got over 70%, I think, something stupid like that.
It's insane. It's just really
so
insane.
So if you give me a 60% ground ball rate again and you give me 28% K rate in that low walk rate, I don't know. I could see Logan Webb making a big jump next year, which is nuts. But I'm trying to go get him in Dynasty Leagues right now. I'm buying high on Logan Webb.
Oh, for sure. I am as well. And I'm one that, I was kind of similar to you. Like, I was like buying into it, but not fully. But now, yeah, I am fully buying into Logan Webb. I'm buying high as well. But sometimes, you know, like what you just described, I think could absolutely happen. Like, 100% believe that could happen. But sometimes that kind of reminds me that I think that puts him in like the Sandy Alcantara, like the next tier for me personally. This is how I think about it. Like, that, I think that would be very similar to what Sandy Alcantara has done and can do moving forward, which he's in that next tier down for me. It's tier two, let's call it, along with guys like Wheeler and Freddy Peralta and Urias. Urias, I think is one. Peralta needs to drop the walk rate to do so, but I think he at least could. He had one of the lowest, you know, FIPs last year, one of the highest K rates. So he needs to drop the walk rate, like I mentioned, to get there. Urias, I don't know. I don't know. He's kind of maxed out in tier two. I don't know if there's like another level to get into tier one with him. But for me, if I had to go, I feel like one of the Rays guys is going to, whether it's McClanahan, Shane Boz, I think they both can. They both have the strikeout upside. If I had to pick one, I'll probably go Shane Boz. But at the same time, I don't know if Tampa, like we mentioned in the last debate, does Tampa Bay let him pitch, you know, deep enough and as many innings to get up to that range, or they kind of cap him in like the 150 to 160 range, which I think could be possible with how the Rays operate. I hope not, but I think Shane Boz would be my pick here. Any others you see that could, like Dylan Cease, do you think? I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other arms here that I think could right now.
I think Cease has that kind of upside, yes, but because I would say that it's
Dustin May. Like, someone asked me about Dustin May. I think there's a possibility, like if the adjustments and the pitch usage that we saw in those five starts before he blew out his elbow stick, I think there's a chance he could. Like, I could see him with the ground ball rate that he had, if the bat missing ability is still there at a 30% rate. I think he got up to like 38%. I'm not buying that, obviously, but if he can go up to 29, 30, 31% with that ground ball rate, I think he could get up there, especially with being on the Dodgers, all the wins he'll get there too.
Yeah,
so that's another name for me, Dustin May.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I think I don't think this guy's going to reach this tier, but if any player takes a huge jump from a dynasty value perspective next year, I think it'd be Jesus Luzardo, honestly. He's just, like, no one even cares for him right now. Like, his ADP is, like, almost outside 300 range in like in FBC drafts where pitchers get pushed up. So he's an afterthought. And Lizardo is still insanely talented. Now, I'm not saying he'll hit that first tier, but if there's any pitcher that takes a huge leap from a dynasty standpoint, I think it's Lizardo.
You're just, that's just music to my ears, Chris, as a guy that just acquired Jesus Lizardo. I traded away in the 30 Rock Dynasty. I traded away John Means and Luis Patino and got, I think, two guys on really good values, Jesus Lizardo and my boy Nate Pearson, who obviously I'm still in on and probably higher on than most everybody at this point. But yeah, Lizardo was the main piece there, obviously. And yeah, I think I echo what you just said. Like, his value is at probably an all-time low. Like, yeah, strong chances at an all-time low. So, yeah, there's another few names that could jump up there. And that will wrap up our fourth Dynasty debate. Thank you to everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on our Patreon. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to DC, diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.